Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome in to another edition of the Under Center podcast here on NBC Sports Chicago. I'm JJ Stankovic, joined as always by John Moon Mullen here in the coat closet at Hallis Hall. Moon, we're back off of an off week. The Bears have the Dolphins this week, a game that, I don't know, maybe a couple weeks ago, you could look ahead at this game and say, wow, the Dolphins are 3-0, they're looking really good. Dolphins losers of back-to-back games to maybe some pretty good teams in the Patriots and the Bengals, but in pretty bad fashion. Yeah. Let's just start it with kind of looking ahead to this game against the Dolphins, then dive into some other stuff. That Dolphins offensive line is in bad shape.
Yeah, what, are three guys out? I mean,
Josh Sitton's out, their center's out, and Laremy Tunsil is in the concussion protocol.
Yeah, this, which does, and you're going against Khalil Mack and, you know, one of the best, well, arguably the best pass rushing team statistically right now. But the one thing I went back and looked, though, the thing you should be worried about as a Bear fan is that Matt Nagy. Teams that Matt Nagy has been on are 1-5 against teams that Adam Gase was coaching. Just to let you know, I mean, we're not saying it, we're just saying that, you know, when they were coordinators in Denver, Kansas City, Miami head coach, so of course that means absolutely nothing. And kind of to play on what you mentioned, JJ, the way the Dolphins lost, you know, it's a funny. Momentum is a funny thing because you technically you can't find an evidence of where how it physically carries over, and yet I was talking to one of the Bears in the locker room today, and you know we have a feeling he was saying about where the Bears are. We have a feeling now. Okay, if something goes wrong, okay, let's go. We're going to go get them. Whereas you go through the losses as you mentioned with Miami, just kind of getting pantsed by New England, and then blowing a Bears Packers kind of lead to lose to the Bengals again. That can undercut. You know, all of a sudden you can reach a point, and teams, the Chicago Bear teams in different years have done that. You start expecting something to go, or when something goes wrong, oh, here we go again. That's the phrase. This, you know, a couple of guys have said, you know, we don't say that anymore. So I think that's if the Dolphins start a slide, if something goes wrong, a bad series, a turnover, an easy score, something like that, the Bears could really, if they could ignite and just run away with this thing, if the Dolphins are over there thinking, here we go again.
Yeah, you know, and I think that the fact that you look at this Dolphins offensive line, Ted Larson, former Bears backup, is their starting left guard. The right side of their offensive line hasn't been beset by injuries, but the two guys over there, Davis and James, are not very good either.
But we should inject here, by the way, with Ted Larson. He's my pick for the one to get into a fight.
Okay.
Most likely to get into a fight, because he was always scraping with somebody at training camp. So let's just put the over-under on over-unders, maybe three scrums post.
I imagine Akeem Hicks won't be a part of those.
Best chance, right? Or he may take off the shoulder pads and beat him over the head with him or something.
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, as it regards to the Bears' offense, Mitch Trubisky going against a defense that does have 10 interceptions. Xavien Howard has had a really good start to the season, the Dolphins' cornerback. But, I mean, this defense, just kind of looking at them, it's like, they can stop the run a little bit. They're probably a solid group, but is this the defense that's going to, you know, show up and really kind of clamp down on the Bears? I don't know. That being said, the Seahawks and Cardinals kind of done that. So how much stock are we putting into what Trubisky did against Tampa? Yeah. Going into this game, you have the bye week where, you know, Mitch kind of talked about he was a little bit anxious to kind of get back to work because, you know, you got that momentum coming off the Tampa game, and now all of a sudden you got to go take a week off. Yeah. A lot of kind of factors in play here with how this is going to turn out. But I do think that this is a game the Bears should win the way that this season has been going.
And I think they are favored.
Yeah.
Which, given that the home team gets 3 points anyway and the Bears are still favored, that's, I think. The only thing about it, Tony, just as you're mentioning, you know, they do stop the run a little bit. can we really call the Bears a run-based team? Again, not to get into, you know, Jordan Howard stuff. Cameron Wake is still one of the best pass rushers in the NFL.
Right.
I think he's top five active players for sacks. They actually do – this would be an interesting situation if the Bears can come off the Tampa game. If that was real, if what they showed, okay, some gears are clicking into place. Now you go in and you play a team – your strength against their strength, mm-hmm. offense versus defense. And I think that, you know, football's about matchups, and I think that's what I am most interested to see is how does Trubisky do against a ball-hawking secondary, and with maybe a pass rush that's maybe at the rate Cameron Wake a little edge over Charles Leno. And, you know, some of the little things that this game will turn on, I find the matchups of what the Bears do and what the Dolphins do, especially offense versus defense, are really interesting this week.
Yeah, you know, and I think overall, if you're looking at kind of this matchup, and Moon, you wrote it, I think it was last week, about how every game from now on is a test for Mitchell Trubisky. Mm-hmm. That, you know, just because he had a really good game against Tampa does not mean he has arrived. This game is a test, like you said, against a ball-hawking secondary. He's probably going to throw an interception.
Mm-hmm.
Will it be a crippling one that he throws in the end zone? Will it be one he throws deep in his own territory? Will it be basically an arm punt that, okay, you can get over that? How is this interception, if it's just one, if it's two, how is this going to happen? How is it going to play out? And how is he going to respond to it? Because we've seen Trubisky, you know, he threw those two against Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
Came back from that. It wasn't the most inspiring offensive game, but he did lead a scoring drive in the second half that wound up being pretty big. Arizona, that horrible start to that game.
Mm-hmm. Which were kind of on him with the two sacks.
Right, it was, yeah.
The sacks he took were deadly.
Right, so everything is still a learning experience for Mitchell Trubisky. Mm-hmm. I thought Adam Gase had an interesting point on his conference call with reporters today about how, you know, it's not really relevant what Trubisky did last year,
mm-hmm.
but at the same point that he got that experience last year means he's not experiencing everything for the first time.
Right.
But what he is doing is experiencing everything for the first time within Matt Nagy's offense. So there is still kind of a difference there as we move forward into this season.
Yeah, I think that's really important. Yeah, it's hard to judge what those games matter. You know, the debate, if you want to have one, is, you know, did Pat Mahomes come farther or come further under sitting a year under Andy Reid,
mm-hmm.
or did Mitchell Trubisky benefit more by playing 12 games under Fox and Loggins. The one thing that's kind of interesting to hear, more than even just the head coach or Trubisky, as you mentioned it, JJ, it's how does he respond to these things? And what I'm starting to see a little bit, and it's not an irresponsible swagger, but if I had to characterize one thing about him, I think we maybe even said this before, there's something about him that's got a little bit of Brett Favre personality. Again, I'm not comparing players, but how he responds. He, like, and as Nagy said, even we weren't in camp. Don't worry about intercept. Let's keep going. Let's keep the pedal all the way down. That was Favre. That's the kind of guy who you almost can't take him down. I mean, he's not stupid when he makes mistakes. I mean, he will make them. But Nagy's saying it, players saying it, that he'll throw two picks and he'll come off and be the same guy. He'll throw six touchdowns and he's still looking for more. And that's, I don't know, there's something about him, I think, an intangible, whether he's a guy, again, irrespective of talent, but the mental makeup of him, I think, is really bodes well. I think we've seen more and more of that.
Yeah, and that'll be, you know, you go into Miami, I don't know if it's the most hostile environment he'll face this year, probably not.
If the hurricane comes through.
Yeah. Yikes. Stay safe if you're listening anywhere in the Florida panhandle. But I do think that, you know, road tests are different. Green Bay is the most hostile atmosphere he'll face. Didn't really go very well. Arizona was about as friendly as a road atmosphere as you're going to face. And, you know, it wound up working out okay for him in the end. So, look, everything still is a test for Trubisky.
Mm-hmm.
And this kind of flows into this discussion I want to have about tipping points for this year. Because you wrote about this, with, you know, as regards to certain players on the Bears, but I actually think this Miami game is kind of a tipping point for the way that this team can view itself going into November. Because right now, essentially, we don't know anything about maybe 29 of the 30 teams in the NFL. We know the Rams are good. We know the Chiefs are good. We know the Patriots will probably be okay. And beyond that?
That's a great point. And in fact, it really applied to the teams that matter most to the Bears, NFC North.
Right.
Can you got to fix on the Vikings, not me.
Nope.
Lions?
Yeah, they got an offense that's got some talent, but...
And Packers, same thing. Yeah. These are guys, they're so unpredictable. I guess you probably, realistically, should put the Bears in that.
Yeah. You know, you can say we know something about the Bears, but we know that about their defense.
Yeah.
We don't know that about their offense. So the point I want to make is that in terms of the perception of the Bears, once they kind of end this stretch against the AFC East, they'll be halfway through the season. Mm-hmm. I think by then we'll really know what this team is. If they beat Miami... Then we're talking about, okay, you can lose to New England and no one's sounding alarm bells. You're not 3-3. Mm-hmm. You know, there's not going to be this kind of panic of, oh, you know, they're wilting after the bye week. Which, granted, may not be happening within this building. But in terms of the perception of what we think we know about the Bears, I think if they beat Miami, by the time they're done with this stretch and they go into Buffalo, I think we can say, yeah, the Bears are a good team. Mm-hmm. I think this game, a lot hinges on that in terms of what we outside this building know about the Bears, because maybe they go and beat New England, who knows, but I think right now you probably say that
I'd be surprised if they get favored unless something really weird happens, but no, I think that's a great point. You know, the funny part is and we fans, media, the outsiders, as you say, JJ, we don't know, and players can say within the locker room or coaching, well, we knew we had that. Well, until you trot out this new offense and you really try, you know, take it out for a spin, you don't really know how good your quarterback. You know, they're still learning about him. So, you know, if we don't know, even within the building, they want to be optimistic. They kind of need that for their jobs. But that's a great point. This next four, it'll include two road games. It'll be against AFC teams who you really haven't seen for 4 years.
Yeah,
it'll be more telling. And just to back up to a big picture you mentioned with a test for Trubisky, it almost sounds like obvious. Well, of course, every game's a test. Not quite the same.
Yeah.
You know, I mentioned Favre again. They're just using a veteran quarterback. If there's a dip in the line, you still know kind of what what he is. With Jay Cutler, for example, even when he had a great game, you kind of still knew what he was.
Right.
And with Trubisky, he's played a full 16 games of NFL stuff, has that experience, but is he the 150 passer rating or is he the 65 passer rating? We've seen both. And given the way the NFL is now, you hope he's in the 100 class.
Right.
But yeah, I think every game is really a test for him and for Matt Nagy as a head coach, all of them coming together, because it's still in a formative stage.
Let's get into some of these tipping points involving players, because I want to talk a little bit about Leonard Floyd. You wrote about him on NBC Sports Chicago as kind of one of the big tipping points. And Floyd doesn't have a sack this year. He hasn't really pressured the quarterback a whole lot. He's done some good things against the run, which is important. But he still is playing with the kind of brace on his hand. And I think, you know, Vic Fangio, credit to him, he said from week one, this is going to hinder him. It's going to be a problem. And
he was blunt about that.
He was blunt about that. And, you know, if from the other side we're hearing, oh, you know, he'll be okay. He'll play with it. You know, Floyd said he played with it in college, which he did. You know, that won't be that big of a deal. Well, it was kind of a big deal. Still is kind of a big deal. But I think if you're looking at this Bears defense, Leonard Floyd and Roquan Smith have not hit their potential yet. And the Bears have the number one defense in the NFL. And that, if you're looking for signs of encouragement for the rest of this season, whoa. I mean, you got two first-round picks, two top-10 picks, who we don't think have played up to the level that they will play to this year. That is a tipping point for a defense that's already really good.
Yeah, I think that really, when I wrote about him, it was, you know, kind of in a positive way. I meant it that way because over a couple of years, Leonard's just a hardworking guy. I mean, guys talk about him in practice. He really gives what he has. And for him not to have produced much and for them still to be a good defense, it bodes really well. And it's funny, you go back to different, the way this defense is becoming with Khalil Mack, and we've seen great defenses kind of become like this, the 85 team, or, you know, not to keep going back to that group, but there's a mentality that Matt gets a sack, I'm going to get mine now.
Yeah.
And it begins to feed on, that's when you get the mad dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Floyd will become part of that. And you mentioned Roquan Smith. We're talking about two top 10 draft choices.
Mm-hmm.
They were that way for a reason. And to give, not to give Floyd a pass, but he already does have a little body of work. I mean,
right.
Unfortunately, part of his injuries. But the other part is he's productive. I mean, I think in what I figure 22 career games,
11 and a half sacks.
I mean, that's not huge, but that's
something.
Eight sacks, you know,
right.
Eight sack average a year, if you want to put it on that. So yeah, that guy he has not played up to his in the back of his card. Which, if I'm Vic Fangio, I'm kind of getting ready. I can't wait till this guy, because he's seeing what's coming off the other edge, 52. Mm-hmm. And you put the two of those together, now you got something.
Here's another tipping point on this defense, and I want to play some sound from Adam Gase, because I asked him about Khalil Mack. The Dolphins played the Raiders last year. Mack did not have a sack. The game was in November, a little bit later in the year, and what Adam Gase said, as it relates to that game, and if he can take anything away from how they schemed up Mack in that game, I thought was really interesting. So here's Adam Gase, the head coach of the Miami Dolphins.
I mean, he looks really good right now. I know that. I know last year we played him a little later in the season, and you know, I think he was pretty banged up, and you know, he had some really, really good pass rushes that we just happened to barely get the ball off. So I mean, you try to do everything you can to just get him to get it to where he can't destroy the game. It's always hard to get it, to stop him from affecting it in some capacity. This is probably the best I've ever seen him. And I thought when he was, you know, those early years, the first couple of years in Oakland, I mean, it was impressive to watch him play. But right now, I think he's just playing at a different level than anybody I've seen.
Yeah, so Gase basically saying, it doesn't matter, Khalil Mack is playing better than he's ever played before. This is a tipping point for me, because I don't know if we can expect Khalil Mack to play at this level, forcing a fumble every single game, but what's to say he can't? He looks like a guy who is extremely motivated. He maybe not playing at all during training camp actually is going to allow him to be fresher.
He's healthy.
He hasn't taken those hits. He is healthier. And, you know, maybe the fact that the off week moon is coming, I just did that just for you, is coming earlier in the year maybe would, you know, work against this. But, look, the level that Khalil Mack is playing right now, he's the defensive player of the year, could be in the MVP conversation. Mm-hmm. And that is a tipping point, because if Khalil Mack can sustain a level of play that's even close, even one standard deviation less of what he's doing right now, this Bears defense isn't going anywhere.
I love standard deviation. I love when you work a statistical term into our stuff. So, no, and Mac, you know, can he do that every week? That would be historic. But the sack part of it, yeah. I mean, that's one a game. Do the math. That's 16.
Yep.
That's what a Von Miller. What a Lawrence.
I think Chandler Jones led with 15.5 last year. Yeah.
Vic Beasley. I think you were talking. The 14, 15. Mm-hmm. So the answer, yeah, he could do that. This is not unsustainable. And I find fascinating with him, and I think I felt this the day when he did his introductory press conference. I always love a guy who brings his parents to that.
Yeah.
And there's just something about him. He's comfortable here. Having been around Oakland at different times over a number of years, Oakland's not always the most comfortable organization.
Right.
But you can kind of see when he comes out to meet the media, he's having a good time.
Yeah.
Now, again, when you're 3-1 and four sacks and four forced fumbles, yeah, I'd have a good time too. But what he is doing is sustainable. Let's just be honest. I mean, blunt about that. This is not a guy who's on a hot streak and, you know, let's have him tested here or something.
Right.
No, this is real sustainable, and I think it'll be infecting, in a good way, the rest of his teammates.
I'm going to end this first part by saying every game is not a test for Khalil Mack.
Good point.
He's already passed it.
Yeah, he's the goods.
All right, we're going to take a break here on the Under Center podcast and come back with a little bit more discussion about the 3-1 Bears, so stick with us here on NBC Sports Chicago.
Hey guys, this is Matt Forte. Make sure to join me, Lance Briggs, Alex Brown, and Lawrence Holmes every Sunday after the game for the Football After Show on NBC Sports Chicago.
The Football After Show is presented by Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings, beer, sports.
All right, Moon and JJ back here at Halas Hall for the second part of the Under Center podcast this week. Moon, you wrote a little bit about the traits of Matt Nagy that we've learned through the first four games, and I kind of want to talk about this. Specifically, one thing that I've kind of thought about this week is that the Green Bay Packers game, where you have a 20-0 lead and you blow it against your rival on national TV, you know, coaches can come in and to, you know, do all the right things, say all the right things, get their players behind them, and then when things really hit the fan, players can turn.
Mm-hmm.
And they know who's a fraud and who's real. And what stood out to me about the Bears through four games is that that Green Bay game has actually been a motivating factor.
Mm-hmm.
Cody Whitehair talked about it after the game against Tampa of, hey, you know, we remember that Green Bay game. We wanted to keep our foot on the gas. They went out and mm-hmm. they, instead of coasting after going up, you know, 21-0, 21-3, whatever it was.
The complacency.
They were not complacent. They were ready to come out and rip it the rest of the game. And, look, there's no way to really spin that loss against Green Bay as a good thing, because if you won that game, you're 4-0. But I think that as the season goes on, you're going to see that still be a theme. We're going to get to week 9,
mm-hmm.
and they're going to say, we remember that Green Bay game. Week 15, you know, hey, you know, when they play the Packers again, we remember what they did to us back in week 1. So if we get another lead, we're not going to let that happen again. I think that's a really positive mm-hmm. thing that Matt Nagy has done and instilled in this Bears team, is allowing that Green Bay game to not kind of follow them in a negative
yeah.
way.
No, I think that's a good point about learning how to recover from a loss, how to recover from a win, how to recover from an off week. These are all stages for him. But no, I think, and he mentioned it with respect to, kind of in the same vein, Akeem Hicks with, mm-hmm. with these, you know, getting ejected.
Yeah.
And he, you know, he's talked to them. Every coach would talk to a player after that. You know, we don't do that. And so, but the specific point was he referred to it as a learning experience, learning how to handle yourself when you lose it, or learning those kind of things, and extrapolating and taking that over into the team and keeping your foot on the gas, offensively and defensively. I mean,
yeah.
let's not forget there was the defense game. Or they're not lost the game, but you know, gave up the points. It wasn't the offense. It wasn't like Trubisky started turning the ball over. But no, I think the scar tissue from that can be used well. And, you know, coaches handle that kind of stuff differently.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Ditka was a classic nobody believes in you. Or he would take some negative and would just kind of keep that poking you with it. And that would get guys foaming mad, you know, that nobody, mm-hmm. they were 12-0 in that 85 season,
yeah.
and he was still, nobody believes in you.
Yeah.
So they're going crazy. So, again, not to keep calling up people like a duck coach, but Nagy has used this has been instructive, and we don't really get to see in the locker
right.
room. He's not going to, I'm sure, you know, now maybe I can only imagine Fangio keeping a film clip of
Eddie Jackson not staying on the shoulder of Randall Cobb,
or Kyle Fuller dropping an interception.
Right, right.
Maybe he made a little card out of it.
Yeah,
it gives it to him every time he thinks.
Hey, if he did, Eddie Jackson's playing like one of the best safeties
yeah.
in the NFL.
So whatever, you know, whatever levers they're pulling are working.
But this point kind of goes into two of the traits you wrote about, Moon, the thumb trait, because after that Packers game, Matt Nagy got up, he talked for 25 mm-hmm. minutes. And was very self-critical of himself in that game. And that was
yeah.
the thumb trick right there. He's not saying, hey, Kyle Fuller, you screwed this up. He's saying, you know, I called too many screen passes.
Mm-hmm.
I there are certain things I would have done differently. And the buy-in trait. Players buy into that.
Yeah.
Players have already bought into Nagy, and it's not like that sort of reflexive, he's our new coach, you got to buy into him. Because players maybe sort of did that with Mark Trestman, and then as soon as
right.
things went wrong,
they'll say the right stuff.
They were never really bought in.
Yeah, and that's why I went with that little thing about the way, and it's a style thing, and you can't, two guys could say exactly the same words, and you'd know they wouldn't quite mean them the same way.
Right.
And Trestman always did that. Now, I think, you know, about he would take responsibility, but quite honestly, very often, even the players and the outsiders, we even meet, it was gas.
Yeah,
he was pointing the thumb, kind of to keep the heat off Martellus Bennett or Brandon Marshall or somebody. Here, it's sincere, and I think players know that. Players know mm-hmm. who's a fraud. You just
yeah.
said they know, and wow, it's like, well, if this guy takes responsibility, you know, he's not going to hang me out.
Right.
That's a little bit of buy-in. And again, because they know. In fact, it's funny, people used to say, you know, how hard is it to rip players? And I said, actually, it's not, because players are usually harder on themselves
right.
than we would ever be. And I think Nagy's that way. And I think that is going to be the way his team responds to him, like, okay, well, you know, it doesn't make them doubt him
right.
by admitting, you know, I should have called him, because you're right, their players do that anyway.
Right, exactly.
So, you know, him, I think he's building a more cohesive whole, which, again, three-game winning streaks will get you buy-in. But one's a cause and which is effect, I'm not sure, but I think the turnaround, as you mentioned, after the Green Bay game has come because of some of his traits, what he's brought to it.
And you want to know, one other point that I just had thinking about this is that he's also not afraid to criticize his quarterback. Right. And I think in today's NFL, that's not always the case. I mean, you look at what's happened with Seattle, mm-hmm. where the Legion of Boom dissolved, you know, and kind of imploded on itself because Pete Carroll's not willing to criticize mm-hmm. Russell Wilson and mm-hmm. kind of treated him differently. I think Matt Nagy has come in and, you know, has said, mm-hmm. Trubisky missed some throws. He's got to make those throws. Mm-hmm. Because those players, again, are not stupid. They know that he's got to make mm-hmm. those throws. Mitch knows he's got to make those throws. Nagy knows he's got to make those throws. But to come out and say it publicly and not be like, oh, you know, he's fine. He'll make them.
Yeah.
He's got to make those throws. And, yeah, we think he'll make them, but mm-hmm. you know what? Like, not everything's okay all the time. And I think that also kind of engenders some respect within that locker mm-hmm. room. And that's, you know, players talk so much about how Nagy is genuine.
Yes.
And I think that is a way that he's genuine in how he talks to them. He's genuine in how he presents himself publicly. Players know that.
Doesn't he come across you? Defiant isn't exactly the word. He's got a little chip on his... He's got a little player in him.
Well, is this because you asked him about how the scripting would work in weather and Nagy? He was like, I'm not telling you that.
We're talking, I'm just kidding. I wasn't asking his game plan. I was asking, does a hurricane influence your what you script?
He said he would throw it 15 times on 15 plays. And, yeah.
But no, it's every once in a while you can kind of see him get, not John Fox defiant, but kind of like, He'll push back. He doesn't mm-hmm. mind. He's not into platitudes. And I think there's becoming a Matt Nagy look. And I think don't you find him? There's a steeliness to him. And maybe that comes from his competitiveness. He was a player. He was a quarterback.
Yeah, right.
Came from the same college as Joe Flacco. So this is a guy who...
And Bilal Nichols.
You're right. That's right. But I think that there's a character that he's bringing. Again, it's always easy to talk when things are on a high.
Right.
And how they respond. So they go down there and they really blow something. That'll be another quote test. But what he's laying in with his personality, as you said, the players know. They know what they screwed up. Mm-hmm. You can only imagine what Trubisky's saying in the huddle after he airmails Aaron too. But... You know, that breeds an honesty among players, and they've talked about that in the locker room. Mm-hmm. And again, not knocking what John Fox did, but things are just even better now. Again, maybe it's because you're winning, but maybe you're winning because your chemistry's better.
Yeah. All right, we got to get out of here, Moon. The football after show returns mm-hmm. Sunday, immediately following the Bears-Dolphins game. Lance Briggs. Alex Brown, Matt Forte, Lawrence Holmes, they do just a phenomenal job. I know it. We've said it so many times, but I mean, seriously, it is the best.
That's one of the things I DVR. I want to see it after the game. Yeah, I want to see what those guys are. They're good. They're blunt. And they have a sense of humor, which is awesome.
I'm interested to hear AB's thoughts on Richard Dent's comments to Dan Pompey of The Athletic about how this is the best Bears defense he's seen since, I don't know, I guess ours. Because AB posted that on Instagram with a couple thinking emojis, so I'm looking forward to hearing what AB's got to say about that.
They weren't bad in 05.
No, they're pretty good then. We will be back with you next Wednesday, Moon and I from Hell's Hall with another Under Center pod. Until then, stick with us here on NBC Sports Chicago for all of your Bears coverage, and thanks for listening.